Hey everyone, welcome to the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I'm your host, Natalie Carlisle, and I can't wait to dive in to a world where the sacred meets the wild and keeps things totally real. In each episode, we are going to dive into what it truly means to live a radiant life that is unapologetically real. And if you're ready to get started, so am I. Hello, everybody. This is Natalie Carlisle with the Naughty Shaman Podcast. I am so happy that you are joining me again today. I have some stories to share about my amazing birthday weekend. And so I had the good fortune of experiencing so much art this weekend for my birthday in Philadelphia. And this episode is going to be about how art influences our soul and informs us about life. And so let's dive in to some of the ways in which art can change our lives and inspire us and heal us. So like I said, this weekend was my birthday weekend, and it's kind of my birthday month. You know, the whole thing gets celebrated with different groups of friends and family. And so this past weekend, I was with my daughter in the great city of Philadelphia. And I don't think I've ever spent much time in Philadelphia. And it was fantastic because she is a music junkie. She's in the chorus and loves to sing and loves musicals and music theory. And so we explored the city from a historical perspective. And that was amazing as well. To see all the Georgian and all these wonderful architecture structures that are down in the historic village or the historic center of Philadelphia. But we also had the good fortune of going to the Museum of Art in Philadelphia, where we got to see Van Gogh and Cézanne and some of the other Impressionists and just amazing historical works of art and Revolutionary War works of art and spatial furniture, modern art. It was incredible, an incredible experience to be at the Museum of Art there. And it left me feeling, it started to crack open something inside me, this tour through the art, and it reminded me how much I love to draw, how much I love to experience art. And I have not taken the time out of my life and my, you know, kind of addiction to working, or at least worrying about work and thinking about work and doing fun and family. And I just haven't plugged in to the artistic side of me in quite some time. And so over the weekend, the journey began here in the art museum of sort of softening the shell that I had begun to create between me and life. And I didn't even know it was there. And that was the gift in the beginning of this weekend experience with art, is that it began to reveal something in my soul that I didn't even know was there. This thin wall between me and life, and experiencing the gut-wrenching charcoal drawings of you know, morphine addicts in Paris, and these dark sketches of ravens, and these bright colors of the Impressionists, and the poplars by Monet. It really opened something inside of me that had been missing. And so I continued to get curious about this. I was like, what is opening up inside of me? I didn't even realize I'd had this sort of shell around me to life, to all of life, to love, to meeting people, to conversations. Like, I was doing those things, but there was this slight barrier between me and everything else and everyone else. And so as I continued to go through the weekend, you know, it was really busy, really fun. But the next night, and this is one of the main stories that I wanted to share with you. The next night, oh my gosh, we had the amazing good fortune of having first row on the balcony to see the orchestra, the Philadelphia Orchestra, which is an award-winning orchestra, one of the best orchestras in the world. And it was being directed by a director with the first name of Yannick, and he is just so animated, and you can tell he embodies the music and feels each movement of the symphony. He was incredible to watch. He was an artist in ways I can't even describe. The way he moved and moved the air around him and shaped the music out of this orchestra was just incredible to watch and incredible to feel. The music, live music, and especially for me, symphonies and orchestras and choruses, especially in those live music moments, you can feel the music in your skin through all of your senses, in your spatial awareness. It fills up the space around it. So you can almost breathe in music when you're in these amazing auditoriums that are perfectly constructed for sound and resonance. And so this experience of this symphony on that level alone, I had a visceral reaction to it. And I felt more and more of any barrier between me and my heart and life starting to diminish even more. Just the softening of my soul, of my body began to happen just from being in the presence of live music like this. But the kicker for me with the symphony was that it was an entire symphony. And I don't know how I missed this, because I used to play competitive piano when I was younger, I mean, in junior high. So it was a while ago. But I don't know how I missed this idea that the symphony has several movements. What we typically experience in a concert, if you've gone to the symphony or to the orchestra, then you have experienced maybe a movement from a symphony. So you're going to see, you know, the movement 6 from symphony number 2, and it won't be the whole symphony. Well, on this night, we had the incredible fortune, I had the incredible fortune of witnessing for the first time an entire symphony. And the symphony was Mahler's symphony number 7. This symphony and the journey that Yannick took us on was epic. It's the only thing I can say. And I was exhausted. I'd been up all night the night before, whatever, but it was captivating. So this music was going through, you know, the soft beginnings of the phrases with flutes and woodwinds. And then it would get into this huge crescendo with the brass and the bass clarinets and the percussion. The timpani was like a life of its own in the back of the chorus. And so there were these wild, wild movements. And then there were these soft, soft, delicate, made me cry. I didn't even know, but it was like the music was talking to me and it was making me weep and feel the sadness inside me, feel the grief inside me. And then it would take me into the next movement. And each time it was like, oh my gosh, is this the ending? Is this the end? It feels like the crescendo to the end. And then it would pop off. And then a new movement would begin. And off we would go on another journey in the symphony with Yannick, deeper and deeper and deeper into our own experience of incredible hope and joy. And then the deepest, most intimate love and the sweetness and tenderness of those experiences. And then the wretched grief of being ripped apart from these experiences into this clunky, chunky, discordant, is that the word? Non-harmonious experiences. It was absolutely incredible. And so seven of these little chapters or movements in the symphony where it was like, oh, is this the end? No, oh my God, it's not the end. And then, oh, is this the end? And oh, the grief. And then, oh, is this the end? And oh, the blinding hope. And then finally we get to this end and the crescendo lasted forever. And at the end of the symphony, I stood, everyone of us was 2 hours. 2.5 hours, actually, of music, of just music, taking you on this journey. And it was so profound for me because the symphony was almost to me at the end, a map of life. It was a map of life. And I know this sounds like so new age crazy stuff, but the symphony provided a map of life for me. This was my individual experience, but I haven't even researched. I'm going to do that after I make this podcast, but right now is just the pure raw excitement and experience of the Philadelphia Orchestra. But to me, the symphony spoke of life and love and how no one can escape it. No one can escape the raw feelings that are available when we are alive in life and awake in life. And it touched me because this is something I talk about all the time with all of you, is how do we stay awake to our lives? And how do we stay awake to the emotions and the emotional textures in our lives? And how do we stay awake to one another in our experiences? And here, this symphony, this unexpected place, showed me a new layer of depth in terms of how I could experience life even more, even more. It alerted me to my own barriers to loving, to living. And I wept at the end of this. Just tears and smiles. I was so happy, and so many tears just weeping down my face for life, for this journey that we are all on together, and how tragic it is, and how epic it is, and how beautiful, blindingly beautiful it can be. And that is the journey. And it reminded me of how I have a habit of sometimes ruining my experience of life with the expectations of how I think life ought to be, should be. And I preach against shoulding all over yourself all the time. And the reason I do that is so that I can hear myself and remind myself to stop with the shoulds, because I still inherited so many patterns of should and ought to. And it was refreshing to be in the presence of this art and this artist and all of these amazing artists in the orchestra that became a singular unit of transformation for me. And I'm so grateful for the arts. And it concerns me that arts and humanities are making their way out of our education. And I don't want to be political about it. I want to be rational about this, because what the arts and the studies of arts and the humanities and in things like English and history and social studies and geography and all these things, they help us access a part of our brain that contains a deep part of our humanity, a deep part of our tenderness, a deep part of our compassion and understanding for one another. And it contains, in that part of our brain that we don't use unless we have the humanities and the arts, is the part of our brain that helps us think and see the journey, the logic behind it all that's a little chaotic. There's a chaotic logic to life that the arts help us see. And I believe that when we do experience art, and read books and read novels, not just books, but novels, and read biographies and read these works of art. I love Nora Roberts. Don't get me wrong. It's the best beach book going around, or those wonderful romance novels. And it's an art form in its own way. But when we get into the more classic realms of art and the layers in which they can show us, reveal parts of our soul, that is profound. And that is a part of our brain that I find atrophying in our culture. And it worries me. I want more art, more humanities, so that we can continue to grow our way of seeing the world symbolically, our way of communicating the depths of our soul, our way of feeling and experiencing life. And the other thing that it teaches, especially in the realms of English, is it teaches us cognitive thinking, how to think for ourselves, how to claim our own experiences in life, which is truly what Nadi Shaman is all about, is to reclaim or claim for the first time your own experience of life and to claim it as valid and important and not trivial. And these are the gifts of the humanities and the arts. So that's not even the end of my epic birthday weekend and all of the insights. The next night, my daughter Kaya and I went to see Hadestown, which is a Broadway musical. So it's musical theater. And we saw it in Philadelphia with the play, the what do they call them? The troupe, the players, the actors that were in Philadelphia. So there was one Broadway actor there, but most of the artists came from the Philadelphia area for this production of Hadestown. And, you know, the Greek mythology of Hades and Persephone is what it is based on. And then there's the next chapter of that story of Orpheus and Euripides. I can't remember her name, but I think it's something like, something like that. But anyway, it's this classic love story. And it happens in the underworld. So Hades is the lord of the underworld. And he sees Persephone, you know, up Lala in the springtime, so gorgeous. And like all the Greek gods and Roman gods did back in the day in the stories and legends, is he fell in love with her, crept up Earthside from the underworld and snatched her down into Hades, where she would be married to him and remain his queen. And so she was queen of the underworld. And the story wasn't about that. That's what most of us hear about. The story was about the next part with Orpheus and his lover. I can't remember if it was Euripides. I can't pronounce her name right now, but you can look it up. Anyway, the story was so incredible because it's a tragedy. So at the very end, you know, the girl gets not captured, but kind of lured by Hades to come down to the underworld. And it's just this beautiful story, kind of with the backdrop of New Orleans jazz vibes. So it's just this amazing music, amazing singing, great acting. And at the end, she's in the underworld and her deep love comes down to rescue her. And he, you know, battles all these things and goes this long way down through all these challenges and tests to get to her, to bring her back topside so that they can continue being in love. He gets down there and reminds Hades about love through a song, which for some reason touched me so deeply. To the character arc of Hades in this story was so profound for me because he was so bitter and closed off from life. See the theme that was working there? He was so closed off from life and love and just bitter and angry and all these things and ambitious and working. There was a beautiful social commentary through the whole thing. And so, you know, he'd worked so much and that's what he did. And he didn't have time for all the trivial things like love and connection. And then this young man reminds him of love and reminds him of connection. And he softens. And so he makes a deal and he says to Orpheus, Orpheus, you can have your love back. But I don't want to appear weak to my people here in Hadestown. So you can have your love back, but here's the catch. You have to go, both of you, walk back topside. But you have to walk in front of her and she walks behind you. And if you look back, she will be mine forever. So you can't turn around and check and make sure she's still there. And they both agree, you know, they're like, okay, we can do this. We believe in each other. We know we love each other. We trust in each other. And then off they go on this great adventure. And it's a long road back up through many challenges, very dark. And the fates in this play were this mechanism to kind of illustrate the inner voices in our heads. And so the three fates come in and they are telling Orpheus all these things like, who do you think you are leading these people out of Hades? And how can you believe that this person loves you? Really? You're just a poor guy from the wrong side of town, and why would she be following you? Of course she loves Hades more than you. Look at the power he has. Look at the money he has. And so through all this doubt, he fights it and fights it. And through the darkness and not knowing if anyone is behind him, he keeps going. Orpheus keeps going. And he's almost to the very end. He's starting to see the light and the way out. And by some trick, moment of doubt, he turns and sees her. And immediately, before she can get right to the light, they're right on the edge of being free together in the world, topside. She gets taken back down to Hades' tomb. And the play ends. I cannot explain to you how I knew how the story ended. I'd read it. I knew the story ended like this. And I was still blown away. I was still like, no, don't take her. And I felt the grief of his loss. And then the narrator, who is being played by Hermes or Mercury, the communicator god, the one with the little wings on his feet, he comes in and starts singing a song about how we tell the stories over and over to remember, even when they're sad, that these stories are a part of life and that life carries on. And it was, again, such a profound message for me about how our common experience as humans is to lose things, is to experience grief. Whether it's the loss of a dream, the loss of what you think love is, the loss of who you think you are, or the real loss of a loved one, or of a job, or of a home, of money, of all the things we can lose as humans, and how sad and how much that can fill us with grief. And still there's music. And still there's art. And still there's reason to get up again and go again and begin a new story again, taking the risk, not knowing how the story will end. There's an incredible trust relationship that I became aware of through this art between us and life. And this relationship of trust is that we can trust life to leave us like the symphony, like this epic 2-hour-long symphony, you know, that we can leave us ragged, exhausted, and it can leave us on the precipice of hope and the dashing of those hopes and the valleys of the despair and life. That's what it's going to do. And we know this. And life provides us an invitation to participate. We can trust that. And we can trust ourselves that we will be able to navigate the artistic flow and story of life, because it's an epic story that we are a part of. If you're breathing, if you're listening to this podcast, you are a part of this epic journey. Look back on your life and think about the hope that you've had, the losses you've had, the love that you've had, the love that you've lost. It's profound. And there isn't a should. There is no way that life should be experienced. Life is just life. And it took these works of art, this weekend of art, for me to remember a deeper layer of how much courage it takes to live life. It's just such a courageous act to be alive. So even if you're depressed and under the covers listening to this podcast, you are being courageous because you are living and breathing this life. You are feeling things right now. And that's what you can trust in yourself, is your capacity to feel things and wake up in the morning and make a cup of coffee and continue on. Life continues on, and we continue on. I don't know if this message is coming across as clearly as I hope it is, but what it left me with, and in summary, I want you to go experience art. I want you to see a profound film or read a book, go to a museum, listen in your headphones to a symphony. Listen to Mahler's Symphony Number 7 if you have like a 2-hour time to yourself. It was incredible. It left me wasted. I was wasted from these artistic experiences because of the emotional, epic journey that they took me on. And the artists, their capacity to embody these characters that were so relatable and yet so godlike at the same time, was incredible talent to witness. And so I want you to experience art, do something way out of the ordinary in your life today so that your soul may be even more revealed to you. When we get caught in the lockdown patterns and routines, we begin to lose something of ourselves, lose something of our souls. And so for today, or maybe even this whole week, disrupt your patterns, disrupt what you see on the way to work, disrupt what you read, read something completely contrary or unknown to you. Disrupt your own way of being this week and see what is revealed to you of your soul. So that's my first hope, is that this memory that art feeds our souls. We need art, like we need air, and we need artists. And I know so many of you out there are artists, and the world is telling you this isn't important anymore. We don't have time for art. We need to make money. You need to do all the things that are correct and right and na 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 na. But if art is in your soul and you have to express it, I mean, have a job, feed your people, feed yourself, but do your art too. Don't give up on that. If your art is communicating, don't give up on that. If you have paint, if you have words, if you have colors, textures, use them. Use them. Write the poem, paint the canvas, and do not judge it. Just let it be an expression of your life, of your moment, because it's meaningful to those of us who witness it. Really. The second thing that I want you to remember is that life carries on. That was a profound message for me. Is that, yeah, because I've experienced some heartbreak, you know, letting go of some loves of my life that I thought were going to be X, Y, and Z, and then are not, and may not ever be a part of my life. And life goes on. I felt such a deep, renewed hope in being able to truly love again. And I didn't realize it until I saw all this art, but I think I was at a point where I'd almost resigned myself to the idea that there's like no love for me now. My love has passed. I've had it, and what a gift. And now it's over. And now I'm filled, because of art, with the possibility of maybe not, maybe not. And I love that. I love feeling that possibility in my body, because of the art, and not just in my head. You know, you can do positive affirmations and na-na-na-na-na, but it's never as real as when we feel it in our bones. And that's the gift of art, of musical theater, of being in the space and sound of music. Like, oh, it's such a gift. And the third thing I want to leave you with is that when we become afraid of life, and sometimes, like for me, it's so transparent. I didn't even realize I was being afraid of life. It was so transparent to me, like cellophane over my eyes. I couldn't see it until the art reflected it and I felt it in my own body. But when we are afraid of life, afraid of losing, when we're afraid of losing, of grieving the loss, of afraid to fall in love with someone because someday they're going to die, or someday they're going to get sick and not be themselves, or someday they're not going to love me anymore and divorce me. When we live our lives afraid of loss, we are not truly living. We are not truly living. Loss is a part of life, and it hurts. And then life goes on. So our choice is to play the game, to have the courage to play the game. Or I don't don't know what the other choice is. If you're breathing, if you're listening to this podcast, you have chosen to play the game. And I am encouraging you to use art to take your experience even deeper. It is not trivial. Art in all of its forms is not trivial. It is critical to a soulful life. And so I encourage you this week, explore any art form that speaks to you. Any art form, dance, musical theater, acoustic guitar, rock and roll, ballads. I don't know. What's calling to your soul? Explore it this week, please. And then write in the comments what it helped you remember. All right, my loves. This is Natalie Carlisle signing off from the Naughty Shaman podcast. And I want to just thank you so much for being here. I love connecting with you in this way. And I really hope that that this is valuable for you. Okay, go witness some art, my darlings. And I will see you on the flip side. I can't wait to hear about your experience and what is revealed to you of your soul. Thanks for tuning in to the Naughty Shaman podcast, where we like to keep the sacred a little bit wild, a little bit artsy, and totally real. If you're hearing this message, you've listened to the entire episode, and for that, we are so grateful. Please reach out to us. Let us know what topics you'd like to see covered in our future episodes. Get in touch in the comments because we love to hear from you. And you can reach us on social media.